Joining us now, always a pleasure to introduce my next guest. Has a, I think, a very valuable perspective to what's going on the state national level. A friend of the program, former State Senator Dick Brubaker. Senator, how are you this morning?
Good morning. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Thank you for making time for us. Let's get right into it. You've been kind of, I think a lot of people on the right and a lot of people on the left point to you as kind of the voice of moderation. And I assume what you've seen these last several days, not particularly thrilled about.
No, I'm not. And, you know, here's what really is the part that makes me the maddest. You know, a lot of Republican leaders, including the president, who I voted for, I mean, got everybody whipped up over this contest to the Electoral College, and anyone, including the congressman who supported it, anyone who's ever served one day in a legislative chamber, knew that was a non-starter from day one. I mean, they knew it wasn't going to work. They knew they didn't have majorities in either chamber, and they knew it was a non-starter. And yet they whipped people up into a frenzy, and now they're blaming Mike Pence. I mean, that's irresponsible. That's wrong. It was also a lie. And that's what makes me mad. I mean, I've been a Republican all my life, and I have never seen Republicans engage in incitement before. I've seen the Democrats do it all the time, especially last summer. But I've never seen our guys do it.
Well, that's this moral equivalence fallacy that we're facing. The Democrats could get away with it. The liberals could get away with it. Why can't we get away with it? I mean, fair is fair, but I'm not saying that is why, right or wrong, but I think that's what might be underway here.
Well, the thing about this election contest and, you know, not receiving the Electoral College, all of that is just the basic difference between the truth and a lie. They knew they didn't have the numbers to carry that, and they and many, many people, not everybody, engaged in inciting language, blame the vice president for following the law, which is something I've never seen Republicans do. And as far as the other side getting away with it, I mean, is the only solution for us to become what we behold? I mean, I hope not.
I mean, you're right, but the reality of it is it just seems headed in that direction. And I don't know what the future has in store. I think we're kind of caught up in this moment, but where are we 6 months from now? I mean, you're going to have Democrats controlling all the levers of power. I think they're going to act quick in the first 100 days. But, you know, emotions are still very raw right now. And
they're extremely raw. Let me ask you this.
Well, if you go too far, what kind of reaction might we anticipate?
Well, let's put it this way. If we're going to have a revolution, it needs to be over a real issue. I mean, the Second Amendment, you know, the Bill of Rights, not over a trumped-up game about not receiving the report of the Electoral College. And here's the thing. This action, whosever fault it was, it's empowered the Democrats further. I mean, there's no question that what went on in Washington last week strengthened Joe Biden and Kamala Harris's hand. It didn't weaken it. And that's, you know, so people that argue that we need to act like them, well, this is the result.
Well, but they're going to, you know, they give statehood to Puerto Rico and D.C. And everything you saw on that Democrat debate stage at the end of 2019 is now in play, a possibility as far as policy goes. We ought to like to talk about the glory days of the Tea Party. I don't know. That seemed to be benign compared to what might be in store. And before we were coming on, you said you think a lot of that depends on what Donald Trump does.
I think a lot of it does. And let's face it, had the president not behaved in the manner he did, you know, I believe that it was his behavior more than anything else, like that phone call to the Georgia Secretary of State. You know, that probably had as much to do with us losing both Georgia races as anything else. And, you know, moderate Republicans or business people in general don't react well to chaos. They certainly don't react well to elected officials threatening each other. And, you know, it's just not the way Republicans do business. Republicans have been viewed as the party of grownups. And when things are bad, historically, Americans have turned to the Republican Party to bring things back to the center. Well, we have thrown all that away. And we've got to get it back. And if this election fraud thing is true, they've got 4 years to prosecute the guilty parties, the Republicans do. And they better do it. They better put some people in jail, or people are just going to believe they made it up.
Well, meanwhile, we're sitting here having this discussion. I mean, there are people probably haven't looked, but blowing us up right now saying, well, I mean, they're convinced this election's not valid. They don't feel like their complaints are being heard. They don't think their vote is worth as much as it used to be, or it's, you know, it's invalid because of what's going on in these other places. What do you say to a group of very, very upset people to tell them it's going to be?
Well, I'm very upset. But here's what I also believe. What happened in D.C.? Did it make things better or worse? My question to you.
I think by far, without a doubt, a lot worse.
Right, exactly.
Very bad.
These people who are upset, they have a right to be upset. I agree. I'm upset. But what happened in D.C., led by the president and certain members of Congress, made things worse for conservatives, for people who like the Constitution, who want the Constitution respected, who want their rights under the Bill of Rights preserved. All of that in D.C. made it worse, not better. That's the only point I'm really trying to make here. It didn't help. And if the president goes to the Alamo and starts inciting crowds in Texas, it's going to even get worse than it is now.
I think he's going to Alamo, Texas, not the actual Alamo, but
well,
yeah, at the same point. Yeah.
If he's going down there to have another rally, and if Alabama congressmen are going to go down there and encourage people to start kicking ass and hang the vice president or blame Pence. You know, this is crazy behavior.
Well,
blaming Mike Pence. I mean, it's just absurd.
If you're Joe Biden, you're walking into this situation, and I get that there's an impulse from the Democratic Party. They want to be punitive. They're going to impeach again. They're going to show, I think, exact that last pound of flesh. But maybe, and I was thinking about this last night, President-elect Biden and Vice President-elect Kamala Harris, they've been relatively quiet. They've issued the obligatory statements. Maybe they've got, this is where it's got to change, and they've got to tell their side as well as the Republican side, you got to back off.
You know, historically, newly elected presidents seek to unify the country. I hope that happens, because this is no way to proceed. We can't spend the next 4 years trading riots. I mean, people that were condemning what happened in Milwaukee and in Portland, they should be equally condemning of what went on in Washington, D.C. I mean, for heaven's sakes, a police officer was killed. Four other people died. And this is what conservatives want? Well, of course it's not. It weakens our argument. It hurts our ability to speak on the public stage. And it's not effective.
Well,
we just got to change tactics.
I mean, maybe that's what we're not really thinking about here. I'm just trying to be objective here. I'm not saying one's right or wrong, but maybe it really is a conservative that's at play here. It's really the Republican Party being populist. Conservatives approach things differently, but the streak of populism within the Republican Party means that you have a Republican base that's more susceptible to these emotional responses.
Well, the Republican base, most of them are a lot smarter than I am. But I will say that historically, populism will get you beat. I mean, look at Wallace's effect on the Democrat Party. I mean, did he help them nationally or hurt them? And Wallace was no conservative or liberal. Wallace was a populist. And he cut the base out and disrupted the other party, and they lost the election. And if Donald Trump chooses to say, well, if I had to leave office, I'm going to be a disruptive factor in Republican politics forever. I mean, we will continue to lose elections. We'll lose further ground in the Senate. And let's face it, people didn't reject Republicanism. How many seats did we end up gaining in the House? Six, seven?
Right, we didn't lose any.
Well, I know, but we picked some up.
Right, we picked some up despite losing the White House.
Six or seven. You know, it's not conservatism that people are rejecting unless conservatives start killing cops.
Well, and then the standards are so different for what conservatives, and I guess applying the conservative label to what had happened makes me a little uneasy. But,
well, it makes me uneasy too, but how is the national media applying it?
Well, I mean, the national media is going to do whatever they're going to do, no matter what happens. The national media.
Well, let's just say Trump supporters then.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. But
let's say Trump supporters. Trump has been the advocate of law and order all through this stuff in Milwaukee, all through the riots in Philadelphia, all through the riots in Portland. And now Trump supporters are ransacking the Capitol building. You can't have it both ways. You either think political violence is okay or you say it's not okay. You can't say it's okay when it's a cause we support, which is what we criticize the other side for doing. We can't just become them.
But they get away with it. Now, look, I get all that, and I'm not saying two wrongs make a right, but I'm just going to tell you the response is they get away with it.
Let me give you an example. Let's say they try to pick up the guns. They're going to disarm the citizenry. If we're going to have a revolution, let's have it over that. Let's have it over the Bill of Rights, not over Donald Trump. Donald Trump's not worth splitting the country over. The Bill of Rights, our fundamental liberties, are.
I think there's a lot of people that agree with you on. Hey, Senator, we're about out of time here, but I want to thank you for coming on, and maybe next time we could kind of get back to talking about what's going on locally rather than this train wreck of a situation.
Well, yeah, and look, I really appreciate you having me on my show. I enjoy it. On your show, I really enjoy it.
Well, I always appreciate getting you on, and we'll do it again real soon.
Thanks very much. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. Former State Senator Dick Brubaker on the program. Like I said, he was a lot of people look at him within our politics as kind of a voice of moderation, a guy you listen to. He's not too far out on the Trump limb or too far out on the MAGA limb.